WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. One of three police officers shot in an ambush yesterday in Northeast Ohio has died. CBS's Lilia Luciano has the latest.
Authorities have identified the gunman as 28-year-old Michael Parker of Lorain, Ohio. Police say he fired at the officers multiple times with a high-powered rifle as two of them were eating lunch in their patrol cars. A third officer was shot when he responded to the call. The gunman was killed at the scene. When officers searched his vehicle, they found an arsenal of weapons.
A second officer remains in critical condition, and a third was treated for a wound to the hand. Police say Parker apparently acted alone. No word on a motive. Democrats and some Republicans demand more information about the case of Jeffrey Epstein and files about him. The Deputy U.S. Attorney General has interviewed Epstein's former girlfriend and co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's doing time in a federal prison in Florida. CBS's Nancy Cordes has more.
It's unclear what they can get because Maxwell pleaded not guilty the first time around and she's still appealing her conviction. So she may not have any incentive to tell DOJ anything more than she originally told investigators. But at the very least, DOJ can say it is doing something on an issue that the president's base clearly cares a lot about.
President Trump visits the Federal Reserve and the much-maligned multi-billion-dollar renovation project. He again nudges Fed Chair Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
You could really feel the tension between the two of them. Of course, Chair Powell can't comment on interest rates right now. It's a quiet period ahead of that meeting. But look, there were a lot of numbers thrown out. At the end of the day, the Federal Reserve, it's over budget, and it of course, has been suggested that the president may use that as a cause for firing because he can't fire Chair Powell. He has to have cause legally.
Talks to broker a ceasefire in Gaza appear to have hit another snag. Reporter Linda Gradstein says envoy Steve Witkoff has recalled the U.S. negotiating team from Qatar.
Hard to tell if this is really the end of those talks or if this is kind of jockeying for position. The Israeli press reports say that Israel believes that the Hamas position had improved, but still fell far short of what Israel was willing to accept.
We now know the cause of celebrity chef Ann Burrell's death. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
According to the New York office of the chief medical examiner, the Food Network star died by suicide after ingesting a toxic combination of alcohol, antihistamines, and a drug used to treat ADHD.
The Worst Cooks in America host was found unresponsive in her home on June 17th and pronounced dead at the scene. She was 55. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The next step for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field. This will be head coach Matt LaFleur's seventh training camp in Green Bay. And although they've been to the playoffs nearly every year, I asked him, as he thought about what else is there left to do to get to the next step, a Super Bowl.
That's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Baseball, Brewers with a 10-2 win over the Mariners. The crew has now won 10 games in a row whenever they've had pitcher Quinn Priester on the mound.
You know, I attribute a lot of his success to the pace. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets it and goes, gets it and goes, gets it and goes. Doesn't give you a lot of time. There's not a lot of trepidation. There seems like there's a lot of conviction. Ball sinking, and then he's got a little cutter, he's got a little curveball, a little slider, and he's attacking.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Many blame the cancellation of The Late Show with Steve Colbert on the Paramount Skydance merger deal and say it was political, including Colbert, who had some choice F-words for the president. If it was political, Paramount should have thought harder about which presidential adversary to fire. The studio just gave Trey Parker and Matt Stone $1.5 billion in a new contract. During the much-anticipated Season 27 debut episode, Parker and Stone wrote a blistering takedown of the president. The story involved a romantic or sex scene between Trump and Satan and also showed the president taking off all his clothes in the desert. Maybe Colbert got fired because he wasn't dirty enough? Here's a story that might not feel so good about a guy who made us feel so good. Trumpet expert Chuck Mangione has passed away at the age of 84. Mangione was known for his tune Feel So Good, which was a big hit in the 70s. It was a great tune. Rest in peace, Chuck. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, a few showers and storms out there with lows in the lower 70s, a light breeze. Friday, a few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, mostly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s with more storm chances Friday night. Currently 80 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday will be in Oshkosh talking to County Executive Gordon Hintz, UWO Provost Ed Martini, and State Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And I'm just so grateful to have you on and talk about what's going on, but also I'd love to just talk about your organization and what's happening. I was just at the Four Sisters Farmers Market tonight or today, and just a great, great things and great vibe. Thank you so much for being on, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert, and to our millions of listeners as well. It's always great to be here. I appreciate the time. It was great seeing you at Four Sisters Farmers Market, connecting with you. I saw you were spending time in All My Relations Arts Gallery at the show and getting a tour from our docent there. And yeah, it's always a pleasure. Let me know how my sound is. I can put my AirPods in. I'm in the car. I'm at a family event. So
I appreciate you being on. And you sound good. You sound good.
Okay, cool. Then I won't put my AirPods in. I've been getting complaints about them lately. Okay. I was in a meeting and spilled on them. Not surprisingly, so they've been a little shaky lately.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, talk a little bit more about All My Relations, because I was blown away by the person in there explaining more. I went to the opening, but he was really, you know, we always talk as Native people, and I always remember John Trudell always talking about we're from earth and sky, and he had the 411 on that today. I was
right.
Like,
Travis brought the receipts.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, Travis has been a docent throughout this show with the creation story, as you're talking about, and it's a traveling show about that references the Dakota Lakota creation story, right? And a number of Dakota Lakota artists participate. This is the final stop of this traveling show, and it's artists like Jada Gray Eagle, Kylie Wanati Thunderhawk, Michaela Patton, and others. And it's just fascinating. And the relative who is giving you the tour, our docent there, his name's Travis. He's just incredible. And it's kind of a new gig for him, and at the gallery, you know, with all of the community activity and some of the unwelcome activity that goes on East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, the American Indian Cultural Corridor. You know, it's important for us to have a real person presence in the gallery at all times. And we just found this great match. Travis has been done other things with Native American Community Development Institute. And Angela Two Stars, our Vice President of Arts and Culture and the Gallery Director, secured him, trained him up. He knows everything about the show. And he's just really, he seems kind of like not the person you'd expect to be a docent in a gallery. He's very community-based, feels very grassroots, but man, he is smart as a whip, and he does a great job giving tours like you were on today.
Yeah, that was amazing, Robert. And also, I want to give a quick shout-out to the mini art wall. I was sitting there talking to Rachel Thunder and her people, and I was going, how long has this been up?
Right. So the mini art wall is sort of a pop-up gallery that All My Relations Arts curates within the Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop. And if you've been to Minneapolis and been in the Native community, I think there's a very good chance you've been to Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop in our building. It's really right off the gallery. And so years ago, we dedicated this wall to emerging artists and to make it more accessible to emerging Native artists. And so we call it the mini art wall. And it supports local emerging artists. And currently, there are paintings by an artist named Carrie Bunker, a White Earth sister, and like me, a White Earth and Scandinavian mixed heritage. And I love her art. It's influenced by her indigenous and her Scandinavian heritages. And it's about stories, myths. And so it just gives an opportunity. And it's not uncommon for an artist who shows on the mini art wall to then later show within the larger gallery, but it's a little more accessible. An amazing, I think two of her paintings have sold so far. So it's an amazing entrepreneurial opportunity for Native artists as well.
Yeah, that I was like totally blown away, and just a different kind of fabrics and things that she painted on. It was just amazing. Just a great vibe. And again, the Four Sisters Market, go in and get a cup of coffee at the Powwow Grounds, or stop by the Powwow Grounds. Was there their food truck was there today, and that's just beautiful.
Fry Bread Factory.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so much to do, and stop by, please. And again, what a beautiful art all around the building.
I love it. It's such a great environment to work in. And if folks want to see Creation Story, it's closing, this weekend, I think, right? Yeah, and so you got it. July 26th, it closes. So if you want to see it, it's so worth seeing. It's beautiful. And then after that will be an artist named Michaela Schaefer. And her show is entitled Matrilineal Memory. Wow. So super excited to see that as well. But the gallery will be dark for pretty much the month of August.
Well, we were talking today, too, that the late, great Jim Demene, help me with his name, has an
Denemy.
Exhibit.
Denemy.
Thank you. Has an exhibit, and he is... I love his art, too, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that and his estate.
Sure, I'd love to.
The scholarship that you guys help with?
Yeah, so Jim Denemy, renowned Native artist. His works are hilarious. They're often large scale. They comment on colonial history, and they use a lot of humor to do that. And if you've seen a Jim Denemy painting, you're going to recognize Jim Denemy paintings every time you see one. And so he has a big show, and it's a fundraiser, and it's coming up at the Bulkley Gallery here in Minneapolis. And that is on July 26th from 12 noon to 5 p.m. at the Bulkley Gallery, B-O-C-K-L-E-Y. But Jim Denemy passed a few years ago, and such a loss. He was very young. And it was a huge loss to the community. But his wife, and now widow, has launched this scholarship to remember him. It's the Jim Denemy Memorial Scholarship, and NACD, in All My Relations Arts, houses that scholarship. And we're just on the verge of announcing the third recipient of the scholarship. And it really involves Jim's wife, Diane Wilson, a renowned author, books like Spirit Car and others. She helps mentor this, his family, and then NACDI houses it. We're just next week, we'll announce the third recipient of the Jim Denamy Memorial Scholarship.
Well, there you go. There's a lot going on. Robert, I know that you're doing me a huge favor because you're outside, your family's in there partying without you. Can you hold on for one more segment? I got a few things I want to talk to you about, what's happening nationally. And I don't know if you saw this, but Governor Evers is not running again. I'd like to get your
answer. I know. I'm sad.
All right. Yeah, I'm really sad. He's been really great. And we have the weekly update with him, too. So, hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI. Did you like that? NACDI.
Very good. Very good.
One in a row. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho!
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we're back, everybody, with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, and I am Robert Pilot, your host. Hey, Robert, sad news coming out of Wisconsin. Governor Evers has been a stopgap to a lot of bad bills over the years, and his former teacher. I guess it's hard to run three times in a row for governor. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to run for office at all. You know, as a former elected official, I understand that. Your next guest, Ruth Buffalo, as well, a former elected official. It's hard, but it's sad to see Evers go. He has been a great ally, from what I can see, to the Native community. And now we'll have to see who is going to replace him. And hopefully a really good Democratic candidate will run and we can elect a progressive to that office. It's important.
Yeah, very important. And especially what's going on nationally. I don't know if you remember this, but he did something kind of slick where he outsmarted the Republicans, meaning Governor Evers. And it had to do with being able to feed the kids forever or something like that. He had some verbiage in there that the Republicans didn't read, and it pulled the wool over.
Yeah, I remember that. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be here, please don't consider me a source, but in Wisconsin, I think the governor has line item veto power, if I'm not mistaken. And there was this lovely line that included feeding school children, and it literally said something like in perpetuity or something like that. And that did sneak through, and I don't think anyone kind of noticed that, but yeah. That was, I mean, I remember when that happened a few years back. It was like,
yeah,
good going, Governor.
Right on. Yeah, definitely. And then we have a governor, too, that may be running again for the third time here. And, I have my ups and downs, but generally speaking, I really like Governor Walz. And he's been on the show and, politics is a hard game, as you know, and here I am, a former legislator of my nation too, right. And kind of like this was a rough sleigh to ride.
Right, we're in kind of a rough patch, right? And Governor Tim Walz was the vice presidential candidate with Senator Kamala Harris, and did a great job. Mm-hmm. And he has to make a decision: is he going to run in 2026 or not? He announced that he's not making a decision until after the Minnesota State Fair, which runs the 2 weeks up to Labor Day, Labor Day being the final day. And I think that's fair to not pull attention away. But we got to know, right? And his lieutenant governor is, of course, our whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan, who's the ranking Native executive elected in the country. Right. Mm-hmm. And she has declared that she's running to fill what will be a vacant U.S. Senate seat in Minnesota as our great ally Tina Smith retires next year. So we're very supportive, or I'm very supportive of Peggy Flanagan's senatorial campaign. And then we'll have to see where Governor Walz goes next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd vote for him again.
Yeah, definitely. I would too. And again, I'd love to vote for Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan for the Senate. So that would be great. And, you know, I have politicians on like State Senator Mary Kunish. And we talk about representation and how important that is. And you know that as a former city council member, that you're there educating people too, along with trying to get good bills passed.
You know, I love that you say that. And there's some activity going on. And maybe, I don't know what you're talking about with Ruth Buffalo, but she's been really helping to lead the charge about increasing public safety in the Native community in Minneapolis. And it's kind of bad right now, right? And so we banded together. The women leadership in the community are really driving this conversation. Ruth is right there. And I really appreciate it. But we're getting a lot more mainstream media attention now, and which is good, but it's that education piece, right? And these reporters and stuff, as you explain to them, you know, what the community is doing, this community infrastructure we have in place to best serve our relatives here, they're like amazed. They just don't know that all this is going on. And so it's important for us, and you help so much with this, Robert, to lift up our narrative so we're the ones telling our story, steering our narrative.
Yeah, and geez, you know, we have to, and you know, a lot of good bills have been passed because of we have representation, and you know, having this radio show, this is a very unique radio show. I don't think there's anyone that's on 5 days a week across the country talking Native issues.
I love it, and I don't know if you have any comment on threat to community radio, public radio, that is now coming out of Congress, but to this telling our story piece, and you know, I'm involved in a number of community initiatives, a big one around how do we best serve and care for our relatives who are living without shelter and who are living in substance abuse, and specifically opioid use, and how we tell that story outward, right? And Ruth Buffalo, who will be on the show today, is an integral part of that work as well. But it's the broader community doesn't understand sort of the assets we have here, you know, in our community. Culture is treatment, culture is health, you know, this spiritual connection that just isn't really happening. And so how do we steer the resources available to support our relatives and how they want to be best served? And it's a big deal change in the public narrative, and you can feel it happening here. You know, there's some traction in making progress here. Again, Ruth Buffalo is a big part of that, but there's something special happening here right now.
Well, what's interesting too, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, what's happening to NPR, and we do a show once a month called Little Moments Count, and that's supported by NPR, and our relatives with native radio stations are going to be really, really affected by these cuts.
Right. I was reading some of the stories about this and the tribal radio stations, which are amazing. I listen to them online as often as I can. And they rely on a lot. They rely a lot on the federal support to public broadcasting. And so they're, you know, sort of, I'm making up these numbers, but it's like 40-60% of these tribal, these reservation-based radio stations is from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And then you read the dollar amounts in the grand scheme of things. It's very small. It's a few hundred thousand dollars here and there that makes such a difference to our cultural and community radio stations. To the federal government, they could care less.
Yeah. Well, we got to keep talking about it like we have. I just feel like there's a lot going on nationally, and there's so much weirdness coming out of the White House, that, you know, whether it's Obama or Rosie O'Donnell or whatever.
And Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I saw this quote from a GOP congressman that said something like, we need to stop talking about Epstein, that was 6 years ago. Let's talk about how Obama stole the 2016 election. It's like, really? Well, that was 9 years ago. You know, yeah. So it's
like, well, if he stole it, he stole it for Trump. Didn't Trump win in 2016?
Right, or how he interfered. But also, just going back to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting topic, and doesn't Amper's media distributes your show, right? I'm only quite broadly, and that's heavily supported by federal funds. So
yeah,
I don't know what it's going to do to you and your listeners.
That's quite a few stations out there in Minnesota that are definitely going to be affected. So it'll be interesting. You know, I we're in the upside down world. I know we talk about that a lot of time, but there's also what I like when you're on, Robert, is we talk about a lot of good things too that the community's doing, and that we are the resistance experts. I always love when you say that.
You've coined that phrase. Well, one of the things we talked about this face to face today, but another very cool thing that has come out is a hard copy version of a community resource directory, and NACDI's taking the lead on behalf of the community in creating this. It's also online at NACDI's website, and it's a broad resource directory. For some reason, Robert, I think you might have been left off. Bad us. In the next printing, this is Jonathan Thunder artwork for those who are watching with video. And NACDI did a community directory maybe 10, 12 years ago, and people just loved it.
Yeah.
And they still come into our office today looking for copies. And so this just came in hot off the press, but it really shows what abundance of assets we have here in our community. And just the way I am personally, and the way that Native American Community Development Institute does our work, we're asset-based, right? And in these dark times, you know, I'm determined to keep the joy in my heart and the positivity in my outlook.
Wow, what a great way to end it. Thank you so much, Robert, for stopping in and staying for an Exeter segment.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow. CBS News Brief. A Lorain, Ohio police officer dies after being ambushed during lunch. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
He was one of three officers who were targeted yesterday by a gunman. Authorities have identified the gunman as 28-year-old Michael Parker of Lorain, Ohio. Police say he fired at the officers multiple times with a high-powered rifle.
Parker died in exchange of gunfire, no motive given. Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell meets with U.S. Deputy AG Todd Blanche. CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
Her defense attorney said that Ms. Maxwell did not invoke the Fifth Amendment, that she was responsive to all questions, and that it was an exhaustive set of questions.
President Trump, accompanied by Fed Chair Jerome Powell, checks out the Fed renovation work, claiming cost overruns and urging lower interest rates. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
He actually said that there was no tension in the meeting between himself and Powell today. He also said that there is, quote, no pressure for Powell to resign since his term expires next May.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The next step for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field. This will be head coach Matt LaFleur's seventh training camp in Green Bay. And although they've been to the playoffs nearly every year, I asked him, as he thought about what else is there left to do to get to the next step, a Super Bowl.
That's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Baseball. Brewers with a 10-2 win over the Mariners. The crew has now won 10 games in a row. Whenever they've had pitcher Quinn Priester on the mound.
You know, I attribute a lot of his success to the pace. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets it and goes, gets it and goes, gets it and goes. Doesn't give you a lot of time. There's not a lot of trepidation. There seems like there's a lot of conviction. Ball sinking, and then he's got a little cutter. He's got a little curveball, a little slider, and he's attacking.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Hulk Hogan is no longer with us. The man who tried to fix wrestling matches to protect his image, notoriously used horrible racial slurs, organized a fake presidential campaign, joked about body slamming Kamala Harris, stonewalled a wrestler's union, took steroids, allegedly caused the breakup of a friend's marriage, and falsely claimed to play bass for Metallica, has passed away. Those offering tributes include the president, who says he will be missed, he was MAGA all the way, and the lovable Vince McMahon, who said Hogan was a global phenomenon. I guess those are tributes. Hulk Hogan was 71. Well, the people begged for it, and Hollywood listened. As a result, there will be a new Air Bud. In the first Air Bud, a young grieving boy befriends a dog who he finds out is great at basketball. In the new Air Bud, a young grieving boy finds a VHS tape of his father's dog, then befriends the same breed of dog who is great at playing basketball. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tonight, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, a few showers and storms out there with lows in the lower 70s, a light breeze. Friday, a few showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, mostly cloudy, highs of the lower 80s with more storm chances Friday night. Currently 80 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, free ticket Friday, a four-pack of tickets up for grabs for the hottest team in baseball. And Dan Schaefer is going to help us recombobulate. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and she has a guest on, too, so that's awesome. I want to introduce Corey in a second, but first, Ruth Anna, I think I want to congratulate you with your partnership with Red Lake that just came about. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Dosha and Matsugadads. Yeah, we're pretty excited about the partnership and looking forward to serving more client relatives and through behavioral health and mental health services.
That's awesome. And I don't know if you listened to the show at all before you came on, but Robert Lilligren had so much great things to say about you. So it's a good shout out. Is air conditioning not working there?
Not really in my office. Well, I had a crazy thing happened to me, like from probably 5 to 10 minutes to the top of the hour. So I've been outside in the back parking lot, kind of wrestling with these fences in a way. So it's like Tetris, but not like Tetris. And so, yeah, I got my exercise in for sure. I kept watching the clock, but
I thought you were going to be saying that you were playing a little basketball out there, getting that new basketball court going.
No, but hopefully go to a lake maybe after this. So
it sounds great. Hey, Ruth Anna, do you want to introduce Corey and talk and have a little conversation about what Corey does? This is really exciting that you have a guest on today.
Yeah, thank you. So we're happy and proud to have Corey Basler on the MIWRC team, but also joining us here on Native Roots Radio. So I'm going to turn it over to Corey, and he can share about what you do at MIWRC and some of the exciting things coming up.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. My name is Corey Basler, and I am the housing manager at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And right now is a really exciting time for us at MIWRC for our housing, because we are just a month away from opening our new apartments, our permanent supportive housing units that will be on floors 3 and 4 of our building here in South Minneapolis. There will be 24 units in total, and 20 of them will be designed to house our unhoused relatives who are high priority homeless, and then 4 will be for our relatives with disabilities.
That's amazing. And Ruth Anna, we've been talking about this for a while, and it's great to see this come to fruition, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a couple years in the making, even before my or Ruth's time here at MIWRC. So it's really exciting to know just like how many people have worked on this before us, and the fact that it's almost open and we get a see the opening and welcome the relatives who will be living there is very rewarding and extremely exciting.
Yeah, I agree. It's super exciting. And would you mind sharing a little bit about the numbers, like kind of like the shift too from years prior and how many units we used to have and then how many units we will have?
Yeah, of course. So in the past, we used to have, I believe it was 14 units for families, and we've had those stretching back to the 90s. We've had lots of really great conversations with relatives who grew up there, were born there, and we have now shifted our focus to housing our unhoused relatives, our single adults, to help meet the needs of those community members who are often go unserved because they are not in a household.
Yes, for sure. It's super exciting, and we're proud to be sort of embarking on this new endeavor of like supportive housing services. And yeah, I think we have a really good team here at MIWRC, and it's continuing to expand, but we have a lot of strong comprehensive services in-house, and we're just super excited about the partnership, the new partnership with Red Lake. So yeah, it's just an exciting time for sure. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. And I just love hearing more and more about the organization, Ruth and Corey. Been around for over 40 years. And I want to, if you can, Ruth, real quick, I want to get your address out there and how people can donate, because you guys have been boots on the ground for 40 years. And it's just amazing what you do for the community.
Sure. Thank you. We're definitely proud to continue pushing the efforts forward and super thankful for the founders, you know, who came together thinking seven generations ahead. So we all have a responsibility to do our part. But we are located at 2300 15th Avenue South in the East Phillips neighborhood, Ventura Village. And you can always donate on our website online, miwrc.org/donate, or even just when you go to our website, you'll see a big red donation button. So feel free to donate anytime.
That's awesome. And Corey, so how has it been working? You said you're fairly new. How has it been working with these great people? And Ruth brings people on every once in a while, and you guys are boots on the ground. And I just feel a positive vibe coming through the airs from you guys that are working so hard for the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am a little new, not super new. I am coming up on my 2-year anniversary, which will be kind of coinciding right when the apartments open, which is super exciting. But yeah, we have a really passionate, dedicated, and energetic team here at MIWRC. Ruth has brought in a lot of really wonderful people. And there's been a lot of people who have been here for a while who are really wonderful, do really great work. And yeah, I'm excited for the work that we're going to keep doing, especially with the apartments. We'll be hiring a case manager and a tenant services coordinator, and we'll be offering services to our tenants. We'll be hosting gatherings and events, lots of fun stuff.
So Corey and Ruth, there's going to be a grand opening, right? And a cakewalk possibly, I hear. Oh,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It sounds like it's backed by popular demand. I know we had a groundbreaking ceremony and gathering this past October, and we will be having a grand opening and a little celebration, and that'll be to be announced. We're still trying to work out the set a date, but we know for sure that we will have 6 tenant units filled by the end of August, or by August 22nd. So things are moving pretty quickly, and we're just excited to be, you know, serving the community in this way, and hope to continue offering support.
Yeah, Corey, these are apartments that are furnished, correct? And that's another good reason why people should be donating.
Absolutely, yeah. They'll be at least partially furnished. We're working on getting like a little love seat and tables and chairs. I think we already have those ordered, as well as a bed frame. And then we're looking to partner with an organization to provide mattresses, as well as just other essentials, sheets, bedding, pots and pans, stuff like that, as well as cleaning supplies.
You know, I don't remember Ruth Anna or Corey, but when did this initiative start, that you were transitioning these rooms into single? When did this start?
It's a really good question. I don't know for sure off the top of my head, but I know that it goes at least back to like 2019. So it's at least 5-6 years in the making.
Like the planning process? Yeah, for sure. The planning process, like the conversations, and you know, the demo, or like the demolition of the top 2 floors started mid-November, so not long after the groundbreaking. And it's been exciting to watch the process from having the entire floor completely like gutted and open, like a open warehouse, you know. And now I was just up there today, and it's coming along really good. There's like wood laminate floors, and the cabinets and the kitchenettes are in there, and it's just nice big windows, so lots of natural light.
Wow, that's exciting. And how do people apply to get in, or is there a waiting list? How does that work, Corey?
Yeah, so the majority of our units, 20 of them, will be filled through coordinated entry referrals. So if anyone is interested and is experiencing chronic homelessness, I encourage them to get a coordinated entry assessment done. There's lots of community organizations in Hennepin County where you can get those done. We have a few that come in on Tuesdays during our Resource Connect. So you can just come to MIWRC on Tuesdays and we can get you an assessment. And if you're going to do one, or if you've already done one, just let your assessor know that you're interested in the MIWC apartments, and they'll add that as a note to your application. And then we also have the four people with disability units will be through in-house referrals, and we have an interested parties list. And if you are interested in being put on that list, you can contact MIWRC. You can send me an email at cbaisler@miwrc.org. You can also call our offices, 612-728-2000, or my work cell phone, which is 612-978-9031.
Wow, Ruth, just amazing things happening. Maybe next segment, you and I can talk about the other things that are happening at Minnesota Indians Resource Center. Corey, this information and you working for the community warms our heart, just listening to the passion and the things that you're doing for the community. And it's so, so important. And I just love being able to amplify Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center's work and yours, Corey, and Ruth Anna's.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate the kind words. Yeah, there's a lot of really great work, really passionate people at MIWRC. So yeah, come visit us, come join our programs, our healing ceremonies, community events, and yeah, hope to have some of y'all living with us soon.
Right on. Hey, Ruth, we're going to let Corey go, and then you and I in the last segment can talk about all the fun, all the great things that you guys do there. Corey, great job. Thank you so much for coming on Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break here.
Me, Gritch. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back with Ruth Anna Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. Ho-wah. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo here of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Ruth, are you cooling down a little bit now?
Yeah, I am.
It's so awesome when you bring people on that work for the organization, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and all the great work that's done. I've had a chance to come down and see you guys in working, and it's just amazing what you do for the community and what the organization's been doing for the past 40 years.
Yeah, I'm super proud and thankful to be a part of the organization, and there's so many good things happening under the MIWRC's roof. You know, the building, it's neat to see and hear, like, the youth practicing on the north side with, you know, through Indigenous People's Task Force. They have their theater, their youth group that does theater and plays on current events and pressing issues too. So that was cool to see today. And then we had a meeting hosted by Hennepin County here for people with lived experience, a subcommittee. And so, yeah, it's nice to kind of have the hustle and bustle underneath the roof. And we also open our doors for wakes and funerals too for the community. And then we still offer our meal program Monday, Thursday, Fridays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then, as Corey mentioned, every Tuesday we have our Resource Connect, breakfast and lunch, and service providers on site from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
That's awesome. And then you have other things too, that you do ceremony in the community. What else you got going on this week, in the next week or so?
Let's see, in the next few weeks, we will be having the cedar ceremony. So MIWRC provides the space and NAC coordinates. So in partnership, the cedar ceremony is always the first Thursday of every month. And then we have on July 30th, we have a kids night out event with educational workshop, all with cultural teachings. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to some of the events. We just had our summer market and planning for the fall market. So every quarter we host a market, and open houses in May, and that's when we have that cakewalk. But yeah, we're you know, getting ready for the fall. There's some back to school events on the calendar. I believe it's August 20th is a back to school event, and also in conjunction with eye exams. And we're also going to have a special guest barber who will be giving free haircuts to school-aged children, I believe up to sixth grade, basic haircuts.
Nice. What don't you guys do? That's amazing. And I can just, you know, think of all the things that you house there too, and just the beautiful things that happen there. So Ruth Anna, how have you been doing? It's been hot here. I've been out of town here for the last week, and it's going to get hot again. How are you holding up, and how is our relatives, unsheltered relatives, holding up?
Oh gosh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. Been working a lot. Past couple of weeks I've been home alone. The family is in different directions, basketball, and then home out in the country, boating, fishing, swimming and stuff, camping out, the kids are. And so yeah, it's going good. Just spending a lot of time with the fur babies and working, but also focusing on how we can meet the needs of the community better, including and especially like our unsheltered relatives. So we are trying to help, you know, find solutions to make sure that everybody is safe and protected. And getting connected to resources and services like treatment, mental health, and housing. So we're hoping to continue to bridge that gap, you know, from within our reach or from where we're at, and meeting people where they're at through like the meal program and the different programming that we offer in-house.
That's awesome. Meeting people where they're at. That's just a beautiful saying. It was kind of frightening what you said about school coming up here soon. I'm a former high school teacher, and it's just like, oh, no, what? But it is right around the corner.
It is. It is. Our twins, they will be in the fifth grade. And they just turned 11 yesterday. So it's moving fast for sure.
Wow. Yeah. And my twin grandbabies are going to be a year old in August. I can't even believe it.
Awesome. Oh, congratulations.
And they're starting to walk. They're starting to walk. So it's going to be kind of frightening over here at the Pilot Mansion.
Yeah, right. That's a transition for sure where you're going to be. They're going to keep you young for sure.
Yeah. At least my shoulder's in shape because, I don't know. I told you, Silas, he's 26 pounds and he's really long and tall and heavy.
Oh, just cute. Maybe football player, basketball player.
Oh, we're hoping. I'm hoping and praying for a Major League Baseball player. His uncle.
That's right. That's right.
His uncle played 12 years in the majors, so he's pretty tall too. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed and hoping he's left-handed too, so he can really throw that left-handed pitch in there. Oh, wow.
Right. You're going to have to get a little ball and start playing catch if you haven't already, I suppose.
Oh, we have. The problem is he loves the football, but he also likes to chew on it with his new teeth. So we had to take it out of there, but you know how it is, Ruth Anna.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what else is going on out there, and before you answer that, let's give the address again and the email and how people can support your organization and find out more information.
Sure. Yep. We're at miwrc.org. We are located at 2300 15th Avenue South, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55404. You can also email us at info@miwrc.org.
One thing I don't think I've ever really asked you this, or it's been quite a few years that I've asked you this, but what's your name? And what language, maybe you can do a name of the day for our listening audience out there.
Sure. My name, like my traditional name?
Your real name, your traditional name.
My real name?
Not your colonized name. Oh,
Yeah, so my Indian name or my Hidatsa name is I carry my late grandmother Ruth's English name and her Hidatsa name, and so it's Mia Adesh, which means woman, like woman appears. It's a spiritual translation of appears. I like to think appears out of nowhere. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, my dad was in town this past summer and he was joking and teasing with Gil, the girl twin, and he was saying, I'm going to give you a new Indian name. It's going to be Tornado. Like he was teasing her because she's got lots of energy. And she's like, I already have one. And he said, oh, what is it? And then she said it. And he said, well, how do you say it in Hidatsa? And then she said it too. So I was like, oh, so cool. And then the boy twin, the same thing. So it was pretty proud moment.
That is a proud moment. In our tradition in Ho-Chunk, we have to know our native name because when we pass on, our relatives will call us and we have to know our name. So it's a spiritual thing. We have fun with it, but it's also very important to us.
Yes, for sure. I remember someone took a photo of when we were doing the giveaway after the ceremony. But because it was a name transfer, it had to be done in public and stuff. So it was held at the old powwow grounds or the old arena across from, so kind of north of Four Bears Casino. And that's now just kind of like an open area where they...
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 6 till 8.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day?
because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell is interviewed by a Justice Department official, CBS's Scott McFarlane.
You had this day-long meeting. The Fifth Amendment was not invoked. What kind of readout will the Department of Justice give, and can they trust Maxwell, who has been accused in the past of fabricating stories, including to the feds?
A federal appeals court says a California law requiring background checks to buy bullets is unconstitutional. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
Law enforcement actually wanted this restriction because there are many people who have guns illegally. And if they can at least control the bullets that are going out, they might be able to control who uses these guns.
Pro wrestler Hulk Hogan has died at the age of 71. Major Nate Burnside says Clearwater, Florida police responded to an emergency call at Hogan's house, and he died at a hospital.
There are no signs of foul play or suspicious activity related to this call for service at this time.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As was